The credit scoring system is what we have, but what else is out there? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Kimberly Adams. Here on the show, we've been looking at the data and algorithms behind credit scores, how they work, the history that made them ubiquitous, problems with the system, and attempts to make it more inclusive. Because buying a house, renting an apartment, getting a car loan all generally require a credit score, and a good one at that. But all this operates on the premise that the overall system of using credit scores to help decide how risky it is to give someone a loan is a pretty good system. So how do some skeptics want to make credit scores work? Our producer Sasha Fernandez has that story.
Monique Drayton in Washington, D.C. was living for years with bad credit. When she lost her full-time job, she says it felt like everything fell apart.
Not having a good credit score is like being empty inside. I didn't feel valued.
But Drayton had a plan. She moved into public housing with her two children in 2016.
So allow me to save money and pay off debt.
For Americans like Drayton, who resort to paying with credit cards after a job loss, it can be hard to wipe debt history from your score, even when your financial picture improves. The credit score relies on things like credit card applications, the total amount of debt you owe, so the score is a limited view of your finances. One thought from academics is to just add more data to your score.
What I would like to see is that we do explore alternatives.
Lindsay St. Jones is an assistant professor of legal studies at University of Georgia's Terry College of Business. She says a more inclusive credit score could weigh payments more logically associated with a borrower's credit risk.
Things like utility payments, checking and savings account balances, account history, rental payment histories.
In the U.S., 44 million households rent their homes. And if they do reliably pay rent, they don't always get the benefit of having that reflected in their credit scores. In 2020, Monique Drayton joined a D.C. Housing Authority program that aims to change that.
That program lifted me up and put my mindset back on the journey of my home ownership.
When she paid rent on time, that improved her score with the three main credit bureaus, TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian. Drayton eventually boosted her score into the 700s using those rent payments and disputing errors on her report. And in May 2021, Drayton moved into her new home, one that she bought. She says she's living her best life.
I'm living my dream. I'm living my dream now.
This practice of rent reporting is spreading. Last month, Freddie Mac announced consumers can use on-time rental payments to help qualify for a mortgage loan. And VantageScore says it includes rental data in its score when available. But the inclusion of alternative data is still unusual in credit scores. And it's not a solution to the discrimination within the credit scoring system, says Pamela Foey, law professor at Yeshiva University's Cardozo School of Law.
You know, alternative credit scores are elevated as a way to solve this problem.
She says framing more data as a solution misses a bigger point.
It detracts from thinking about larger disparities, both historical and ongoing, that are feeding into the traditional credit scoring system. It's kind of like putting a Band-Aid over something that is a huge gaping wound.
Bowie says we need new economic policies, like guaranteeing certain loans or utility bills, to give marginalized communities who don't have generational wealth a leg up.
Put them on a path of credit success. And then the credit scores themselves will be more reflective of people's relative ability to pay going forward.
Attorney Chi-Chi Wu at the National Consumer Law Center believes there's some promise to including alternative data in credit scores, but with safeguards.
Rent reporting and utility reporting have to be done in a way that it only reports the positive information and that it's done only with the tenant or the consumer's voluntary opt-in and knowing consent.
The idea is, because some payments are optionally reported, they should only help, not hurt, someone's credit score. Wu says it's important that adding more financial data shouldn't put consumer privacy at risk. Because as we know, more data means more power.
That was Marketplace Tech's Sasha Fernandez. And now for some related links. You can read more from Lindsay Sane Jones and Pamela Foey on our website, marketplacetech.org, including Sane Jones's piece with her co-author on what they call fringe data, like how someone uses social media as a means of determining creditworthiness. Sounds a little bit like that Black Mirror episode, right? And as Sasha mentioned, Freddie Mac is including on-time rental payments for underwriting starting July 10th. That's less than a year after Fannie Mae rolled out a similar proposal. Those two government-sponsored enterprises, as they're called, guarantee most of the mortgages in the U.S. Housing Wire has an article on it, including the potential for Freddie Mac to pluck proof of payments from apps like Zelle, Venmo, and PayPal, in case you pay your landlord on your phone rather than by check. Besides rent being added, most medical debt is being dropped from credit histories. CNBC reports the three credit bureaus are now allowing paid-off medical debt to be removed. Those debts used to represent 58% of the debts in collections and even lingered on credit reports for up to 7 years. With the change, some consumers could see their scores rise earlier than expected. And of course, our website also has the rest of our stories looking at the algorithms behind credit scores and how they can shape your financial life. I'm Kimberly Adams, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.